I'm Katie Frankowitz. You're listening to News on KMUN. Astoria is moving forward with plans to develop housing on two publicly owned sites in the city. This summer, Astoria, in partnership with Clatsop County, issued a request for expressions of interest to look at the feasibility of developing the county-owned Darigold property near existing county offices in downtown Astoria and at the city-owned Customs House parcel on the eastern side of Astoria across the street from the Safeway fuel station. The city received six proposals that staff say demonstrate strong regional interest in delivering affordable and workforce housing in Astoria. Some of the groups behind the proposals are already engaged in housing-related projects in the county. Of the applications, one submitted by Edlin and Company received particular support and enthusiasm from city councilors. Edlin and Company is behind Clatsop Behavioral Healthcare's new facility on Marine Drive in Astoria that includes 32 permanent supportive housing apartments. Astoria city councilors liked the company's proposal to create a small neighborhood of single-family homes at the Customs House site, with the homes sold through a community land trust model, creating, they say, a path to home ownership. But City Councilor Andy Davis said he felt the City Council should view all of the proposals through the lens of guiding principles. For him, that meant looking chiefly at financial feasibility and capital strategy.
Any of these projects seems to me to be an improvement over what's happening, which is nothing in those two lots, right? And so having a package come forward that our staff looks at or experts in the community give us feedback on that looks like it's actually going to happen in 2027 is like my priority above anything else here.
Innovative Housing Inc., a Portland-based nonprofit that developed the Merwin Apartments in downtown Astoria, submitted a feedback letter to the city about potential development of the Darigold and Customs House sites. Julie Garver, Innovative's senior housing developer, noted that both sites face challenges and questions when it comes to making them desirable and feasible for affordable housing development. For example, at the Customs House parcel, there are existing sewer lines and easements that already cross the site. There is also the Customs House reconstruction that stands on the parcel and would need to be moved. Astoria Community Development Director John Roberts says that even as the City Council is interested in moving forward, nothing is likely to go vertical at the sites until 2027 and more likely 2028. He says the costs of development could be between $8 to $10 million at the Customs House parcel and up to $30 million at the Darigold property. City staff plan to return to the City Council in January with a more detailed analysis that looks at how the City Council's priorities and desires map onto the proposals the city received. A federal judge has ruled that the Trump administration cannot withhold millions in critical funding for projects that would increase community resilience to natural disasters like earthquakes and tsunamis. Last week, U.S. District Judge Richard Stearns ruled that the Trump administration unlawfully terminated FEMA's Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities Grant Program, also called the BRIC Grant Program. Stearns concluded that the cancellation of the program was an unlawful encroachment on Congress's power to appropriate funds. Columbia Memorial Hospital in Astoria is in the middle of a major expansion project and had landed $14 million in federal money through the BRIC grant program. That money has been in limbo since the Trump administration terminated the program earlier this year. The hospital still received a pledge of $6 million from the state, money that was originally requested as a match to the federal grant, and the hospital still has proceeded with construction. Now, CEO Eric Thorson says he hopes the judge's ruling will result in the immediate restoration and approval of the BRIC funding. This summer, Stearns blocked FEMA from diverting more than $4 billion allocated to BRIC and spending it on other purposes. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Irving Avenue near 27th Street in Astoria is closed to all vehicular traffic until further notice because land movement over the past few days has damaged the roadway. The city of Astoria says there has not been any damage to private property or injuries reported, but that the road is not safe to drive on. The city's Public Works Department will monitor land movement. A geotechnical consultant was at the site yesterday to assess the situation and provide suggestions about how to proceed. Local residents are advised to approach the area with caution and obey all traffic control devices. You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. A major mill in Sumas, Washington, EPL, feeds tens of thousands of dairy cattle and has been inundated with floodwaters. Beyond that, trucking and rail lines that feed the plant with its raw material have been damaged. Workers are trying to reopen the plant. NWPB's senior correspondent Anna King has the details.
Sumas is a small town. It's about a 45-minute drive northeast of Bellingham. The plant, called EPL, feeds many dairies across Whatcom, Skagit, and Snohomish counties. The plant takes in raw grains and materials, then it ships out ground-up special mixes for cattle. Usually this plant would draw materials by rail and highway from across North America. That's been difficult lately because of road closures and damaged rail lines following huge rain in the Northwest. I'm Anna King.
A nearly 50-mile stretch of Highway 2 over Stevens Pass is closed, with no estimated reopening date. NWPB's Murrow Fellow Renee Diaz reports on detours open for now.
Highway 2 is closed from Skykomish to Leavenworth after last week's massive storms. Mudslides, floodwaters, downed trees, and rocks are all being looked at for cleanup and fixes. Lauren Loeb-Sack with the Washington State Department of Transportation says to look for alternate routes in the meantime.
We're getting reports of people crossing past the closure points. Right now, road closed means road closed.
Instead, right now, US 97 over Blewett Pass and State Route 28 between Wenatchee and Quincy are both open. Sergeant Jason Rainfeld with Chelan County Emergency Management says to check roads before traveling.
When we have the high winds with the rain, stay off the roads as much as possible.
Another round of bad weather is expected this week. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
Tribes around the country have the option to manage health services that are otherwise run by the federal government. But the transition to local control still isn't easy, even 50 years after Congress recognized tribal sovereignty. As SBR's Owen Henderson reports, now the House of Representatives is hearing from tribal leaders on what still needs to be fixed.
Spokane Tribal Chairman Greg Abrahamson told a House subcommittee last week that his tribe took control of its clinic this spring.
Tribally operated health centers can better tailor services for their citizens, expanded care, reduced workforce shortages, while many federally operated in health service facilities continue to struggle with high vacancy rates, leaving tribal patients without timely access to care.
But it wasn't a smooth transition. Staffing shortages at the Indian Health Service and slow responses from the local IHS office meant the tribe risked missing critical grant deadlines. And even now that the Spokane tribe runs the clinic, problems persist with the government system for electronic health records. Abrahamson says as IHS starts to modernize, it needs to prioritize fixing that system. Or, he says, it could fund tribes' transition to alternatives so citizens don't see disruptions in care. I'm Owen Henderson reporting.
A nonprofit in Klamath Falls opened a new transitional living program for young mothers on Monday. Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports.
Integral Youth Services opened a program called Aurora House. It's for mothers aged 18 to 24 who are pregnant or parenting and experiencing homelessness. While living there, they'll receive case management, life skills workshops, and workforce training. Amy Mastro, Shelter Programs Manager, says this is filling an important gap for people with kids.
Because we don't have any housing for them in Klamath County. It's a huge need. In 1 week, at one point this year, I got 4 phone calls in 1 week from 4 separate moms.
Women staying at the house must search for work, volunteer, or be in school. They also have to participate in chores and monthly workshops. The goal is for them to leave after 12 or 18 months. There are still rooms available for mothers in need. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
Hot and dry. That's the takeaway from the past year in the Pacific Northwest, according to experts. Jacob Genuisi is a climatologist with the Washington State Climate Office. He says following a three-year drought cycle, this fall period saw record warm temperatures for the region. He says recent heavy rains have helped fill reservoirs, especially in Washington, but
we've seen warm storms that have not dropped a lot of snowfall in our mountains, so we have below normal snow water equivalent or snowpack in Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and Southwest BC. And we're seeing growing precipitation deficits in southern and central Oregon, which are further limiting snowpack growth.
Genuisi cautions it's still early in the season, and most snow typically falls in the coming months. Rainfall this week is expected to produce some mountain snow. A long-range forecast shows temperatures trending below normal for Oregon in the first quarter of 2026, with average precipitation. You're listening to KMUN. The Army is reorganizing to reflect the Trump administration's military priorities. It's formed a new command that will focus on the Western Hemisphere and patrolling the nation's borders. Jay Price reports for the American Homefront Project.
Indeed, it's called the U.S. Army Western Hemisphere Command. It was created in a ceremony at Fort Bragg.
Per Army General Order 2025-24, the Western Hemisphere Command is activated on...
The Western Hemisphere Command is the Army's largest, created by merging three existing commands. It will oversee Army planning and operations for the Americas and the Caribbean.
General George will now formally pass the colors to General Ryan.
The command's first leader, General Joseph Ryan, said it's part of a crucial Army restructuring. He spoke just hours after the Trump administration unveiled a new national security strategy that emphasizes the Western Hemisphere and controlling the nation's borders.
The Army is transforming because our adversaries increasingly aim to exploit vulnerabilities in the homeland and throughout North Central and Southern America.
The administration also has announced a return to the two centuries old Monroe Doctrine, which treats interference in the Western Hemisphere from countries outside it as a national security threat. Speaking earlier this month, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said the U.S. will protect military and commercial access to places such as the Arctic, Greenland, the Caribbean, the Panama Canal, and what the administration calls the Gulf of America.
After years of neglect, the United States will restore U.S. military dominance in the Western Hemisphere. We will use it to protect our homeland and access to key terrain throughout the region.
Against the backdrop of the U.S. building its largest combat force in Latin America in decades, threatening Venezuela, Hegseth also struck an ominous tone. He said the Pentagon will work with like-minded neighbors, but is also ready to take decisive action to advance U.S. interests. But experts warn that using force the wrong way in Latin America could quickly undermine U.S. security and commerce. Bradley Bowman is a senior director at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, a Washington think tank on foreign policy and national security.
There's a reputation in many parts of Latin America about Americans with big sticks and a resentment and a historical legacy there. And if we come in a way that is arrogant and unnecessarily aggressive and militaristic, then we risk giving a self-inflicted wound to ourselves and a gift to the People's Republic of China.
He says one risk of the new geographic emphasis is pulling forces away from Europe, something that could encourage more aggression by Russia. Bowman says the new command's creation is also aimed at efficiency, a desire to shrink the number of officers and headquarters. The new command is being fashioned by merging U.S. Army South and U.S. Army North, commands in Texas run by a two-star and a three-star, with U.S. Army Forces Command at Bragg, led by a four-star general. And Bowman says that points to another potential upside, because a major part of U.S. Army South's role in Latin America has been closer to diplomacy than warfighting.
They focused on security cooperation, building the capabilities of partner militaries, and trying to help them solve non-military issues.
And now, the U.S. general visiting his counterparts in Latin America and within the U.S. military will have clout, 4 stars worth of it.
When you show up in a meeting of 4 stars and you're a 2-star, you get less respect. By and large, what's on your shoulder really, really matters in terms of your access, your leverage, and your influence.
And the other nations in the hemisphere are paying close attention. The military attachés of 4, including Chile and Brazil, were representing their countries at the Fort Bragg ceremony as the new unit was created. I'm Jay Price reporting.
News on KMUN is brought to you with help from our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, volunteer Sylvia Thorpe, and me, News Director Katie Frankowitz. That's all from us today. For more local and regional news, head over to kmun.org/news.